Mary and Joseph must have gone through. What a great blessing it was they came. Take your Bibles this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. This is our verse we've been using for this month for our theme, 2 Corinthians 9 and 15. Hopefully you have memorized it by now. But if you haven't, we will say it a couple of times together this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 15. If you haven't learned it already, this is the first Sunday you've heard it, you'll probably learn it today. So let's all say the reference and the verse together. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Again, 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Who have just the ladies? 2 Corinthians 9:15. Could we have the gentlemen? 2 Corinthians 9:15. All the smart people. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be unto God for His... All right, now Sydney, are you ready? And anyway, all right, good. Just God loves a cheerful giver. Let's take up an offering right now, all right? We pick on Sydney way too much. Don't y'all know that? But I'm not planning on changing. That's not one of my New Year's resolutions. However, others of you better look out because I'm going to pick on you throughout the year. Now, in this verse, we've looked at several, it's the whole passage here really. I want to read this morning verse 11 down through 15. And let's just back up a few verses to verse number 11. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth us, or through us, thanksgiving to God, for the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. I think there's such a bunch of words there that we miss, or maybe we don't quite get what's being said. So I want to sort of break that down. That's what we call preaching sometimes. It's supposed to be an exposition, an expounding and opening up and a explaining of what all those words mean. And so with the Lord's help today, I want to do that. We have spoken 2 weeks ago, we talked about the gift, the giver Himself, our great God, and how it says, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. And then we talked about the gift last week in particular, His unspeakable gift. Talked about that word unspeakable, how basically it means it's beyond our comprehension to be able to find the way to express everything we'd like to express. But today, I want to talk to you mainly about those of us who are in the group we call the getters. We're the one that got the gift. God gave His Son, according to Romans chapter 5, to be a free gift. If through one man, Adam, in the Garden of Eden, lost everything, then God, through one man, Jesus Christ, gave back salvation to all who will receive Him. Remember, John 1:12 tells us that Jesus came into His own, and His own received Him not. And then verse 12 says, but all that received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. So the gift is offered, but not beneficial to any except those who receive Him as Lord and Savior. And so today I want you to see in this really the gratitude that we ought to have. In a way, it's saying this. If we'd have Thanksgiving, right, we'd have a better Christmas. Now, the holiday of Thanksgiving's already gone. But if you're not thankful at Christmas, you'll ruin it for everybody. Some folks tend to think that Christmas is all about them. The earth, the world, the universe rotates and revolves around them. If they don't get what they want, they'll mess Christmas up for everybody. If they don't get their way, if they don't get their gift, if they don't get something to fall like they wanted to. Many of you, no doubt, have probably been dropping hints all year since last Christmas. Something you didn't get last Christmas you wanted, and you've been dropping hints. You've been a sourpuss all year long because you didn't get what you wanted last year, and you've been dropping hints right and left, especially within the last 2 or 3 weeks. You've been sending emails, putting it on Facebook. You've texted it. You've even wore a picture of it on your back. And still, nobody seems to have jumped on board. And you might go through this Christmas still not getting that gift. Well, I can't promise you you'll get that gift. But I can tell you one gift you've already received if you know Christ as your Savior. And that's Jesus as the free gift of salvation. And my point is, that if we are grateful to God for what He's already given us as a gift, it'll make us appreciate whatever we do get this Christmas, be it things or whatever. So I want you to notice, I went through these. In verse 11, I read the word thanksgiving, and then it says to God. In verse 12, it's a plural word, thanksgivings. And then in verse number 15, just thanks. Sort of like we would say it, thanksgiving, a particular day, thanksgivings, multiple of them, and then thanks. The point of my message today is simply to say this much. We need to develop and maintain the right kind of gratitude for what Christmas is all about. It's a thanksgiving that appreciates and gives thanks for what Christmas is all about. And I think we can get that in these verses. So notice with me, first, the word thanksgiving found in verse number 11. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. That little phrase stood out to me, which causeth us to make thanksgiving or to give thanksgiving. Can I ask you this? What causes you to give thanks? Now, I've heard it expressed to me ever since Georgia started doing the lottery. If God would help me win the lottery, I'm going to give Him 10%. I might even give Him 11%. But I guarantee you, if He ever give me that, oh, how I would thank Him. And oh, how I would praise Him. And by the way, if some of y'all do win the lottery and you do give 10, 11, 12, 15, 20, 45% of it, I'm probably going to be pretty glad too. Because I might actually get a little raise around here. That'd be wonderful. So it'd be awesome. Man, we'd all see everything upgraded out here. We might even pave the parking lot with asphalt this time. Who knows? I mean, a lot of things would be different. We would put a personal listening device in every one of our pews. So those of you that are hard of hearing, those of you that are cold, we would put your own personal space heater in every location around here. Those of you that have the... Sydney said today, and again, I'm sorry to pick on you, but he tells too much. He said this morning he was real hot and Deborah was cold. I said, you're having them hot flashes. You're going through the change of life, Sydney. That's what's happening. But if you're a little bit hot, we give you a cooler there. A little bit cold, we give you a heater there. Now, we can't help some of you that are not smart. We can't give you an education. But we, if we had all that money, wouldn't we be grateful for that thing? Oh, sure we would. So I got to thinking about what kind of things would make us thankful at Christmas time. Well, whatever that gift. Now, I can remember back when it was the Xbox, or I guess that still is one of those things, the PS2 or all these different items. Back for me, I can remember it being a BB gun. And then, of course, the Christmas story came out, kids, you'll shoot your eye out, you know, kind of thing. But can you remember back, maybe you were a child, and the most important thing about Christmas was the thing you were hoping to get. For some of y'all, it was a Barbie doll. I hope that wasn't none of you men, Eric. But anyway, some special thing you wanted. A special doll, a special toy. I can remember getting a little robot back in the 60s. You wind that thing up. You know, he'd walk around the room and all that. That was kind of cool. Maybe it's a baseball glove. Maybe it's a basketball. Maybe it's a pair of shoes. I don't know. Maybe it's a special ring somebody's looking for. Some unique item that you're like, that, if I could get that thing, man, that would make Christmas special. Boy, I'd be so grateful. I'd be so thankful. My point is that if we're Christians, we got enough to be thankful even without all the things. Some of us may be well off enough to be able to afford things. But what about people who can't afford anything? Wouldn't we be pretty quick to tell them, well, you ought to just be thankful you're alive. Well, what if the Lord took all your things away and said, why don't you just be thankful for being alive? Well, we'd probably pout about it. We've all seen those children who, after opening all their presents, I saw one this week, some little YouTube thing. This kid opened his present up. It was about a $400 item, but it wasn't what he wanted. He just threw it down and pitched a tantrum. The bad thing is, I think the kid was about 24 years. No, I'm just kidding. It's unusual that we are not as grateful as we should be. My point in saying this is when we think, T-H-I-N-K, if we'll think about what's been given, we will think about what has been given. So if I stop and think about Christmas and the gift of God that was given and Christ was born for us, to be our Savior, then I can be thankful even if I don't get all the things. Now, we all still want those things. But put it to you this way, is it something or someone that causes you to give thanks? Is it for you a gift or is it the giver of the gift? Is it luxuries or is it the Lord? Is it money or is it the Master? You stop and think about it, you'll give thanksgiving to God for what's already been given. I probably told this before, but I'll share it again. Growing up as a kid, I can remember one of the things we seemed to almost every year buy for my daddy was a pair of boots, work boots. He'd wear them out 1 year. And those pair of work boots, my dad was short, maybe 5'6". And so he wore about a 6 to a 6.5 boot. That's a very small foot. But every year, we made sure that was one gift my daddy was going to get. Now, if you've ever seen boots in a box and wrap, they all going to be the same size for 25 years in a row. But I can still remember on most Christmases, especially when I was real little, before my sister came along and ruined everything at Christmas. But anyway, I don't want to get bitter. But that box of boots, and I can remember, and this was like a special thing that my daddy was supposed to open that box first before we tore into everything else. So he would take the box, again, I'm probably first, second, third grade, and I'm taking that box over to daddy, like, hurry up, make me think, because I got some gifts I want to get open over here. And he would methodically take his stinking time, set the box in his lap, pull out his little old-timer pocket knife, and open it up, and then carefully slice, as if he's a surgeon, slice the tape where my mother had taped it together. Because back in that day, Scotch tape would hold like duct tape. You just couldn't tear it in two. So he'd slice that on one end and open it up, turn the box around carefully, slice it on the other end and open it up, roll it over where it had been pieced together in the back, slice through that tape. And then after doing so, take the wrapping paper apart and carefully fold it over on the side. Are we going to use this again? Just tear the stinking paper off so I can get to my gift. But he's methodically taking his time to cut into all. Any of y'all have parents or relatives that did something like this? Mine was the only weird one. Anyway, he did that. You know what? I remember watching that and thinking, I can't wait till you finish. Get through. Open your, it's boots. Can you not tell us what you get every year? I want my present. See, I was more interested in what I was going to get than what my daddy was doing. But Christmas is different now. And it don't get me all the time, but every now and then it'll get me when I stop and think about it. Brother Alvin, I'd just about give anything. What, Daddy, do that again? Maybe you had another... I'll get a grip here in a minute. Maybe you had another tradition. My point is, it calls the memory back to not the things I was waiting to open, but the person was sitting there in that living room, right over there in his chair, taking that paper apart. See, I was a kid, just an immature little brat. And all I could think about is the things, the gifts. But I'm a grown man now. I'm a little older, a little more mature. And here's what I think about. I care about the giver more than I do the gifts. I'd sure like to have Daddy back. Take your time. Take your time. Just to watch him. What causes you to give thanks to God? I think that's important here. And it's not necessarily just what, but it is who. This leads me to the next word in our section here, verse 12. It says, thanksgivings, plural. And as I read that verse, the Apostle Paul is not talking about the stuff, the monies, the offerings, the things, again. But he's talking about the people at that church, that they should be the cause of many giving their thanksgivings to God. And what I mean by that is this plural is thanksgiving of us, but also for us. Could I put it to you like this way? We should be, and he's writing to this church, telling them, you should be the kind of Christian that other people give thanks to God for. Let me say that again. That we seek to be the kind of Christian that other people look at our life, get to know us, and they look up to heaven and say, Lord, thank you for that person. Now, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. Think of it this way. Are you the kind of Christian worker on the job that your fellow workers say, I thank God for somebody like that? Now, I can remember people I worked with that I did not thank God for who they were. I didn't like them. We didn't get along. I'd rather been with anybody else. But every now and then, God will drop somebody, a person, a real live person in skin next to you. They become a lifelong friend. They become somebody very special to you. And then now you're not thanking God at any time of the year for the fact that that person does something, but you're thankful that they are that person. Lord, thank you for this person being in my life. Are we the kind of workers that our fellow workers say, thank God for them? I'm glad I got that person watching my back. I'm glad I got that. Are you the kind of parent that children look up to and say, I want to thank God for my mom and my daddy. I want to thank God for my brother and my sister. I want to thank God for my children. We ought to be the kind of people, and that to me is what the multiple Thanksgivings are. As I look around, I've told you all this before, when I'm praying for our church, I go through this section. I know about where all of you sit. And if I ever forget Brother Dan and Miss Debbie's name because of my Alzheimer's, I can still, Lord, that couple sits up here on the second row right there, and every time we shake hands, they always kiss each other. Them! Bless them. And you know, about two rows behind them, that's that guy Bob and that woman that talks a lot. Lord, bless them right there, Bob and Rosemary. And you know, over here on the front, there's always these two ladies over here that I have to get on to behave themselves. And then you remember that old guy that looks like, Jesse, and he's got duct tape on his side. Lord, bless him. And I just go through the whole, Lord, you remember the guy in the middle that went to sleep in the deer stand and fell out? Alvin, that's his name. I can go through the whole bunch of you. Even if I forget your name, I go through all of you and I remember you. But my point in saying that is this. I'm not thanking God for just you sitting on the pew. I'm thanking God for you. You're the kind of people I want to pastor. You're the kind of people I want to go to church with. You're the kind of people I like rubbing shoulders with. You're the kind of people I want to shake your hand. I look forward. If we're singing in the choir together, let's do it together. If we're working on the roof together, let's do it together. I like showing up and being with y'all. Many Thanksgivings. And some of y'all are like, well, I don't like nobody at church except one. Well, you probably need to change that. Well, I don't get along with hardly anybody. Well, maybe the problem ain't everybody else. Maybe the problem's you. When something always stinks to you, you might want to check your upper lip. You might have some Limburger cheese stuck there, and it's not everybody else. It's you. Many thanksgivings to God. You're thankful for them, the individuals. And there ought to be somebody that looks at us. See, those Corinthians looked at the Apostle Paul, and they said, thank God for this apostle. What a blessing he has been in our church. What a blessing he has been in our life. My contention is, if we get to where we thank God, and we let what he's blessed in our life be that which we're grateful for, it makes Christmas better. And if we're thankful for the people he's given us, then it makes Christmas better. The right attitude of gratitude, Christmas becomes much more fulfilling and a whole lot better. I think it changes the way we look at everything. I talked about Daddy, and I got choked up, and I apologize for that, but I hope I won't get choked up talking a little bit about my mama. I couldn't tell you how many wonderful meals. My mama was an awesome cook. Awesome. She was good, and when my wife and I first got married, my wife was a good cook, but she just got better and better and better. But I'm going to tell you right now, growing up, nobody could cook like my mama. I don't know how many meals, especially when she fixed, when we have sketty night, as we called it. Sketty night, for sketty. Man, that was good. Now both my wife and my daughter fix so good. Leah fixes it so good. Chew can't wait to eat it. For all those years he ate at home, he can't wait to eat Leah's spaghetti. He just absolutely loves it. Special meals. Special things my mama done, taking care of me and all that kind of stuff. Man, I'll tell you, when I think back to all that stuff mama did, man, Lord, I can't thank you enough. But when I thank him, I don't say, Lord, thank you for when mama fixed spaghetti. Lord, thank you when mama fixed pork chop. Lord, thank you so much. Man, mama fixed a good nanner pudding. And Lord, thank you that my mama knew how to fix nanner pudding. I don't thank God that away. I think you're an idiot if that's the only way. Lord, just thank you that my mama used to buy me stuff. Thank you that my mama used to always clean my room or whatever. It's not the stuff she did. It's her. Lord, thank you for my mama. Just like I said about daddy. Thank you for my... And I'm just using that as an illustration. Surely you got somebody, a co-worker, a family member, a spouse, maybe it's your children, maybe it's a neighbor, maybe it's a brother or sister in Christ. It's somebody that you just stop and you don't thank God for what they've done. You thank God for who they are. And that's multiple Thanksgiving. I just don't think if you stop this Christmas and begin to do that, I don't think you'll end up with one. Y'all know how much Brother Earl means to our church, to me personally, but I couldn't say thank you, Lord, for Brother Earl and stop there. Could you pick one and just stop there? Now, all of those build up. There might be hundreds here and some more here and some more here, and they all build up to the very one who's above all the rest of them. And that is, while I thank God for Brother Earl, and I thank God for Brother Alvin, I thank God for Brother Tim, Brother Parker, and on I could go in the audience. But Lord, I thank God for you. It's not just the things you've done for me, though I do thank you for those. I couldn't have survived without a job. I couldn't survive without money. I couldn't survive without stuff. We all got to have it. But Lord, I want to thank you for you. You're telling me that if you actually did that, that your Christmas would be worse. I'm telling you, your Christmas would be better. Because then it wouldn't be wrapped up in the stuff wrapped up around the tree. Be wrapped up into the one who hung on the tree. The last one is in verse number 15. And there is that simple word that we use quite often. And that's just thanks. Most of the little cards, if I write to somebody, if I send an email to somebody, most of the time if I send a text to somebody, at the tail end of it, I'll say thanks or thanks again. But there are some words that stand out, and I want to show them to you in the passage here. In verse 12, it says administration. Then it says also in verse number 13, experiment, or we might say experimentation. Verse 13 says ministration. Then it says distribution. And then we get to 15, it's an exclamation. So let me say something about those all real quick. You see, the idea of thanks is often felt in the heart, but never carried out. Is there somebody that you, maybe they're already gone, maybe they done died and went on to heaven, and you wish you could go back and tell them thank you? Probably. I got a preacher friend, he's 83 years old in Georgetown, Tennessee. I want so bad to get up to see him before he passes. He married my wife and I, the key individual, everything God's blessed my life with. Goes back to that man of God having an influence on my life. Just a teenage boy who needed somebody to say, you better straighten up and live your life right. He had a backbone like a saw log. I'm talking about leather lungs, and he preached God's word. I couldn't tell you any sermon he preached, but he invested himself in me and he cared about me, and all my life was influenced by that one great man of God that none of you have ever met, short of my wife. It's a powerful thing. And so, the administration, what's an administrator do? He's the one that's supposed to get things done. You ain't never said this about a business or a school or something. They ought to get something done around here. They need to change this. Well, who is they? That's the person that gets it done. Somebody has got to get it done in your life and mine, and that somebody can only be us. God wants us to be grateful. There's plenty to be grateful for, but somewhere along the way, we just got to express it. thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There is experimentation. Here's what I believe. If you ain't never experienced salvation, I completely understand you ain't thankful. But if you're saved, you're not going to hell, your name is written in heaven, your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life, you'll walk on streets of gold, you don't ever have to worry about being condemned, isn't that enough to say, thank you, Lord? Thank you for saving my soul. Then there is ministration. That is a worshipful activity. We come here for the operation of the ministry so we can worship God. A song is sung and a frog gets in our throat. Our chest gets tight and tears run down our cheek as we think about something in the song that God has done for us or in us or through us. There is distribution mentioned in verse 13, a liberal distribution. I'm not afraid to give so that others can know about this Savior. And then finally, there's the exclamation. It's interesting, isn't it, that everybody spoke about the unspeakable. When the wise men get to Jerusalem, they speak to Herod. Then Herod speaks back to them, and the prophets or the wise men of that day find out from some of the scribes Bethlehem's the place. They go there, and then an angel comes and speaks to Joseph about get out of town because they're going to try and kill you. An angel spoke to Mary about the birth of Jesus. It's like everybody is speaking to somebody about the unspeakable gift because it cannot be hid. It'd be like hiding the sun. It'd be like putting a shade or a tarp over the sun in the middle of the day. It's impossible to do because somewhere along the way, he has to be spoken of. Somebody wrote this poem. Christina Rosetta said this. You probably heard it. What can I give? Christmas is about us getting, but the truth is we celebrate it as his birthday. So we ought to make sure that the Lord gets something from us. And my admonition to us today is let's give him thanks for the people he's put in our life, for the blessings he's put on our life, and for everything else around us. What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I'd give him a lamb. If I were a wise man, I'd do my part, but what can I give him? I'll give him my heart. That's a pretty fair assessment of what we ought to do when we know that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. My points again were thanksgiving. What causes you to be thankful? Thanksgivings are you and I the kind of people that others look at and I thank God for them. Does your name get called out by somebody? I thank God for them. That ought to be what we're being, trying to be the kind of people that would happen to. And then just thanks. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul, for your unspeakable gift. Let's stand together.